We looked at that in Exodus chapter number 17. And someone who, it wasn't that Joshua was just not doing anything, and then, you know, Moses dies, and then, oh, I got to find somebody to be the next in command. Who am I going to choose? Joshua. No, it wasn't like that. Joshua was already doing something. He was already involved. He was already a man of courage. You remember when the 12 spies went to Canaan, only two of them came back and said, we can do it. One of them was who? Caleb. And the second one was Joshua. Yeah. So, again, this is not somebody who was, untested. So a dedicated man, letter B. We looked at that. And then we looked at letter C. It was a direct purpose, a directed purpose. And what was the directed purpose? It was lead the people, lead the people. And we mentioned how that even today, we have a great purpose as believers. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 is the Great Commission. One of the purposes, and the great purpose, we call it the Great Commission, is that we would be spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's called all of us to have a part in that. So, number one, remember God's calling. Number two, remember God's provision. Remember God's provision. And then letter A under that was the provision of the land. Notice in Joshua 1 and verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Think about what that is saying. You understand what that is saying? Everywhere you walk, it's yours. Every place that your foot walks on is yours. And God has provided the land. You know what? He's already promised the land before they even walk in it. He's already promised them this land in the past, and they've just needed to fulfill that promise. We looked at Genesis 13, 15 to 17. We won't turn to that. It might be in your book there. And it talks about how much land God was going to give them. And God is, you know, this book that you have here today that we have, the Bible, it's got so much for us that God has promised as well. Might we do a better job of looking into this book on a regular basis, finding the promises of God and claiming them for our own personal lives? And they're all for us, and we can claim them, just like the people were given the land. And then we see letter B, the provision of protection. Provision of protection. And we looked at that in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And God promised them protection. God promised them victory. Does God promise us victory as well? Yes, he does. Who can think of a verse in the New Testament or Old Testament where God promises us victory? It might even be in your book there if you have the book. Maybe you don't know the address, but you can think of the verse of Scripture. Okay, what's it say? Okay, not as much specifically victory there, but he promises us his presence there, that he will go with us everywhere. That still brings victory. But how about something more specific that speaks of victory in our Bible? Go for it. Okay, that's a promise. God has given us what? Victory. How do we have victory? It's not through our own abilities. It's not through our own wisdom. No, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Any victory that you and I have ever experienced spiritually was through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that in 2020, we aren't left to figure out how to have victory on our own. God has provided us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Claim that, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Who can think of another verse of Scripture that speaks, doesn't have to have the word victory in it specifically? Yes, sir. Okay, very good, very good. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things. We can have victory no matter what it is. It comes through Christ. Joshua was given the promise of protection, the promise of victory. Again, might I encourage us to keep our eyes, keep our confidence, not on ourselves or even on our fellow man. Praise God, we can help one another, but Jesus is the one who's never failed. And so my confidence is always in Christ. And may that be the way it is for all of our lives each and every day. It's sometimes, strangely enough, I know we've all been there, it's sometimes challenging to claim victory when we're involved in something that seems so difficult that, boy, I don't know how this is going to turn. And we know that God is able to do, as we said this morning, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. So provision of protection, let her see provision of God's presence. And we just heard that verse just a moment ago, Joshua 1:9. But look at Joshua 1:5. I love what it says there, partway through the verse. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So in order to have the victory of God, we must have God. You can't have victory apart from God's presence. And so remember God's calling. Remember God's provision. And I think that's about where we stopped a couple of weeks ago. So let's look at number three now in the outline is remember God's requirements. Remember God's requirements. I was just speaking to someone today about claiming a gift. In this particular conversation, it was the gift of eternal life. How many of us here today know that eternal life is a gift? Raise your hand. You know that. It's a gift. Okay. That means that it cannot be earned. There's no way to earn eternal life. There's no way to earn salvation. But it doesn't change the fact that there is some responsibility to us to receive the gift that Jesus Christ has for us. John 1:12. Does anybody know John 1:12? How it starts a little bit anyway? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. We believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and is victorious. But then we must receive that. We must claim that gift. We've got to accept it. You know, in the illustration, you can offer somebody a gift for hours and days and weeks and months. And you know what? Some people are coming to church every Sunday and they're being offered the gift of salvation and they're refusing it. Isn't that something? Here's the gift. What's the gift? Eternal life. No, I don't want it. Many times pride keeps people from accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. Many times the devil has blinded them from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And it's why we continue to pray for some of your family, some of my family, that have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be able to see the light. What kind of light are we talking about? We're talking about the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, the devil wants everybody to be blinded. I sent that 1040 window link on the email, on the Google group list. I hope you've clicked on that. I hope you've looked at that. And I hope during this week that we'll be able to pray for those countries within that 1040 window. And it's city after city after city after city. There's 30 top cities in the 1040 window that are, there's not one of those cities is predominantly Christian in the 1040 window. Every single one is either atheist, Buddhist, and Islam. Those are the three groupings for those 30 cities. You know, Tokyo has as many people as Canada. I did not know that. And on this list, it said that Tokyo had 37 million people. That was a shocker to me. I didn't verify that, but I'm sure that's accurate. I don't know. It seems like a lot. But I mean millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people. And many of them blinded to the gospel. Oh, we've got to pray that those Christians that are in those countries, and by the way, the gospel is in those countries. It doesn't matter that in many countries the government doesn't want Jesus, that doesn't want the Bible. That doesn't keep the Bible, that doesn't keep God from moving in a country like that. And that's why we as God's people need to continually be praying. And what we're talking about, though, is to be saved, the requirement for the unbeliever is simple. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. And yet so many have yet to receive the gift. I'm praying today, would you pray with me? I'm praying today that one person, at least one person, gets saved today at church. And I hope you'll join with me in praying that prayer every Sunday, maybe even every day, that one person would get saved. What does it mean that one person would see the light, be convicted, humble themselves, and accept the gift of salvation? But for our lesson today, it's not referring to salvation. Remember God's requirements. Letter A, it takes courageous faith. Courageous faith. You see that in verse number 6. Be strong and of a good what? Courage. Courage. What does it mean to have courageous faith? What do you think it means to have? I'm not necessarily looking for one specific answer, but what is the difference between courageous faith and someone who says, I have faith? In your thinking. Brother Barry? One is what? One is anchored and one is not, okay? Okay? Again, there's not necessarily one right answer. I'm just seeing what does it resonate? Courageous faith. One is anchored in Jesus, one is not. Okay? An action. You're heading down the trail that, okay. No, I think, yeah, I get you. Okay. So would it be that you're saying that courageous faith moves, like you said the word action. So courageous faith, and again, it's not a right or wrong answer. This is just one way. It moves us to do something, right? We can sit in church and at home, and we can sit everywhere. I'm using that as sit doesn't mean literally. But we could be just sitting and just saying, yeah, I have faith. But until it moves us to action, until it moves us to do something, then our faith is, it's faith, it's a statement, but maybe it hasn't reached that courageous level yet. And it's not a foolish act, by the way, to be courageous. Because who is our faith anchored in, Brother Barry? It's anchored in the Lord. So someone whose faith that is anchored in the Lord, there's going to come a time where when we're anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our faith leads us to courageous faith, where it leads us to something beyond just saying, well, I have this, to doing something about it. For example, the society that we live in today, by and large, is becoming harder and harder and harder to the things of God. Okay? Now, I'm not saying it's a big brush that's everybody, okay? But we don't look at the society and the hardening of the heart of society to determine our courageous faith. Our courageous faith is not based on the society's soft or hard heart. Our courageous faith is based on the one who's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And so when we go into our week and when we go into our days and when we go into our workplaces or we go into family gatherings where maybe several are not saved, we don't have to go in fear. We can go with courageous faith, knowing that God can enable us to be a godly witness for Him. So God's promises are claimed and then they lead us to action. Go quickly to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Maybe you know this verse from memory. Joshua did not know the future. Nobody does, right? We don't know the future. We have this book. So we know a little bit more than Joshua knew. Yes. Okay. And yes, we do know the future in the sense of when we die, we're going to heaven. We know that. But I'm talking about we don't know what Tuesday has this week. We don't know what Thursday has or Saturday. We don't know what is coming in our week and in our month and in our year. But we courageously live by faith because God is already there where we're headed. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? So that's courageous faith. I can't see what God has coming for me, but I know that He's already there. I know that God is going to provide for me financially, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it may be. God is going to provide. Promises lead to action. Letter B. So a courageous faith. Letter B, complete obedience. Now, this is getting right into our theme for 2020. In fact, we're right in our theme verse now, verse 7 in our lesson. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Who gave these instructions? Thank you, God. This was not Joshua's instructions. These were God's instructions. And the requirement for Joshua brings with it a promise from God. Here's a requirement for Joshua. And then that requirement is going to have a beautiful promise from God. Nothing's changed. Think about it. Nothing's changed. You know, we don't have to go march around the walls of Jericho, so I guess that's maybe the change. You know? But we still have battles every day. We still have battles this week, next month, next year. We still have all the opportunities to disobey that our flesh wants to take advantage of, mine and yours both. But notice those three words, observe to do. Observe to do. Knowing the Word of God and not doing the Word of God, we're going to miss the promises of God. Think about it. Knowing the Word of God and not doing the Word of God, we're going to miss the promises of God. I wrote down in my book here, application. Application. And I'm not talking about a job application. I'm talking about the word to apply yourself, to apply it. Not to apply for a job, but to apply what you're learning. You know, it's kind of like back in some of the subjects in school. Memorize the terms to get the exam done, and then that's it. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Maybe you did that. I definitely did that for some subjects. I've got to get this exam memorized. I got to memorize everything so I can pass and move on, and it really doesn't mean anything to me. Well, hopefully that's not what we do with God's Word. That we read God's Word, and then we close it, and we say, well, I finished my Bible reading for today so that I can move on with the rest of my life. That's not a very good attitude, is it? No, we need to get into God's Word because we know we need something from God's Word for that day, and God has something for us for that day. It might not mean that we are going to read three chapters. It might mean we're going to read three verses, and we're going to chew, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute about meditation. But it means that we can get something from that, and it's because in that day that's coming our way, there's something that we need to apply, and it's from the Word of God. And that's the beauty of this book, that it is alive. And I hope and pray that we are observing to do. Observing to do. James 1:22, many of you know it, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. What does the Bible say for those that are doers, that aren't doers, that are only hearers? What does it say that we will be? It's right in that verse. Deceived. Yeah, that's right. Interesting. Interesting. So someone that all they do is hear the Bible and never obey the Bible, what's going to come into their life? Deception. If I'll tell you this, and interesting what it says there, deceiving your own selves. Today I was in the car and I had three people in there that we picked up, and I picked up, praise the Lord, and I was talking to myself because I wasn't doing something right. And I said, come on, Ben. I don't know, maybe you do that, maybe you don't do that. If you don't start now. But I've been talking to myself for many years. And thankfully, I don't talk back to myself. But that's why I talk to myself, so I don't talk back to myself anyway. And I said to Reese, who was sitting beside me, I said, don't start talking to yourself if you don't already. But I have this problem. I talk to myself. That's what it says here. If I'm going to hear God's word and not obey God's word, there's going to come a time in my life where I'm going to deceive my own self. Importance of applying the Bible to our life. Then God promises Joshua something, though, if he obeys God's word. Notice what he says in the end of verse 8, I think it is, right? 7, excuse me. He says, that thou mayest what? Prosper. Who doesn't want to prosper? We all need God's hand of prospering in our life. Prospering comes when we observe to do. Wow. I'm thankful we have a God who loves us and is patient with us. God bless Joshua because he had great faith that was demonstrated in obedience to God. Again, courageous faith always moves to action. Letter C. Continual meditation. Continual meditation. We learn about that in verse number 8. We see the word meditate therein. Meditate therein. To meditate means to continually think or ruminate. To continually think or ruminate. This in this particular verse, the command or the command from God is meditate on my word. Meditate on my word. What happens when we meditate on God's word? Well, one thing that happens is what we just learned in verse number 7, is that as we begin to meditate on God's word, it helps us to obey God's word. It helps us to obey God's word. It's amazing. We have the manual for life right here. This is the manual for the Christian life, isn't it? God's love letter to us. It's our manual. And, you know, I'm the first one to raise my hand and admit that I have not read every owner's manual for everything that I've ever bought and purchased. Excuse my English. For anything that I've ever purchased. I have not read every owner's manual. In fact, I've probably not read more than I've read. When you buy something, it has an owner's manual. I don't read them very often. Now, that's probably not a wise thing. This is a pretty good manual, isn't it? The best. It doesn't say it, but it should say owner's manual for life. Because this is our manual. God's given us 66 books written over 1,600 years of time, over 40 authors put together for you, put together for me, so that if we would take this book right here, and we would read it, and we would obey it, and we would meditate on it. Totally transform our life. Every area of our life would be transformed. So, what's one way to meditate? What's one way to meditate? Okay, I know that we've talked about this in church and in Sunday school when we were kids, But let's think about this. One way to meditate on the Bible is to memorize the Bible. To memorize the Bible. Earlier, Jonathan, Brother Jonathan, you quoted a Bible verse. My God, or what was it you quoted? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay? You know what? He didn't have, did you have it open to that passage at that time? No. Okay. So I don't want to give you a big head, but praise the Lord, he could quote that verse. Now, you know what? He might be out during the week, and he might come across something that's a challenge, and he may not have his Bible with him. You know what he can do? He can bring that verse up in his memory. He can meditate on that verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What are some verses that you have committed to memory? Who has a verse that you've committed to memory that you meditate on regularly? Okay, could everybody hear that? Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is that? And you don't have to say much, if anything, but what does that mean to you? Guided me and helped me through struggles. So she didn't have the book open, turned to Psalm 119:105. It was brought up from memory, and it's obviously been a verse that Jennifer has meditated on. Again, the meditation of the Word of God is vital. Somebody else, a special verse in your life you've committed to memory, hopefully, if you haven't forgot it yet. I forgot a lot of addresses. I'll go, Brother Barry. And what is it about that verse that you think about? What keeps you, why do you meditate on that verse? Where you were, and now where you are. And still there's so many people that are not in the light, and yet God saved you, God opened your eyes, and now you're saved and on your way to heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:4, right? Yes, sir. And what is it about that verse, Brother Jonathan, that speaks to your heart? And that was 1 Timothy 1:7. Meditate on that. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's a good verse right now for all of us to meditate on. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, someone else. Yes, ma'am. What is it about that verse, Ms. Ross, particularly? Isaiah 41:10, 16 years ago, for Miss Ross, it became a verse. Meditating on that verse 16 years later, you never forget everything about struggles that we have in our life. Okay? But out of those can come, as she just said, great blessings. And that verse talked about, yea, I will help thee, right? Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee by my right hand. God's right-handed, you know that? Sorry. I will uphold thee. Wow. Good. Someone else. A verse. Yes, sir. All the way in the back, and then Brother Carlos. And what is it about that, Brother Knapp, that you meditate on? Amen. And you know, that's again, all of these throughout our days. Brother Carlos, last one. And what is it about that verse or that passage that you meditate on? Okay. The Lord, I've heard someone say that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, he's all I want. You know, it's a paraphrase. That's not what it says. It says, I shall not want. Thank you, Brother Carlos. Thank you, everybody. So the idea of this is that grab a verse. Grab a verse, you know. So basically today, if you were brought up here, we aren't going to do this. But if you were brought up here and you had to stand behind the pulpit and you had to quote one verse of Scripture or else, you know, we would never do that. I'm just saying, you know what? Find a verse. Find two verses. Maybe everybody already has it. And not just one, but maybe every so often, maybe a verse of the month. You have your life verse, but maybe then you've got a verse of the month or a verse of the week or whatever. And write that thing down on a 3x5 card and carry it with you everywhere you go and read it. Meditate, think about it. Get everything out of that verse that you can possibly get out of it. Squeeze it all out. George Mueller said, the most important thing I had to do was to read the Word of God and to meditate on it. Thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, and instruction. So much happens to the life and the life of the believer when we eliminate God's word from our life. I cannot tell you how many times I've asked people that are in a certain way, away from God, how's your Bible reading? Just about every time. Well, I haven't read it in a while. So there's something to that, isn't there? Stay in God's word, not just hearing it, but applying it. There's no shortcut to spiritual success. The Bible is the great secret to having victory in everything we do. So, the life of Joshua, grace to go